this time.
Welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 278. This is Kevin. On the other end is Chris. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good, Kevin. How about yourself?
Can't argue too much. So, you know, I believe you said it in an IM today. There are some weeks that there is absolutely nothing to talk about outside of Raw, so you're kind of stuck talking about it.
Right, yeah. This is not one of those weeks, thankfully. I much, much, much prefer weeks like this, especially when everything we probably have to say about Raw pretty much exactly matches up what we said about Raw last week.
I didn't feel actually quite as offended by Raw this week for whatever reason. But,
Nah, but still, not an exciting show.
No, but I guess the first of the two exciting things... really, which we didn't get to mention at all on the site, because I'll tell you what, like, when I travel to my parents' place, it's pretty much,
right.
I just don't pay attention. Like, I'll pop on to Facebook on my phone or something, but I didn't open my laptop once down there. So I was completely shut off of this news. So when I eventually read your IM that that Punk had gone on Cabana's podcast, yeah, I knew I was going to be useless.
Oh, it's all right. It's all right. Oh, man.
And now there is one thing. Did you actually get to listen to it?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I read a write-up of it, and then I subscribed to his podcast and even went to Cabana's page, and I couldn't get it in any of those locations. So,
really? Huh.
So I still haven't actually listened. I didn't check on his site today, but I subscribed on iTunes and specifically downloaded the CM Punk one. And, I mean, I've clicked on other stuff on iTunes, so it's not like iTunes is, well, I mean, it might be screwing up with that one podcast, but
it may have been. I mean, I had problems with it when I did, when I tried to do it, you know, because I have no I have no life on Thanksgiving, so I pretty much dominated my day on Thursday. But yeah, it was a struggle to find a working link and keep it. I had to use Stitcher to get it, and it, like, crapped out in the last 15 minutes, couldn't find anything. I know there was a YouTube video that Colt put up himself that's got, like insane amount of, like, more views than our subscribers to the WWE Network, so I think that has been the primary people have used to take a look at this thing.
And, yeah, I'm an idiot and didn't think to look there.
Sigh.
So, and I guess that ends up, and I mean, I don't know if there was anything, was there anything, I guess, in it that you found as a highlight for his rant?
I mean, the highlight I'm thinking is probably it's definitely, you know, the medical stuff. I mean, the, you know, the fire on his wedding thing that, you know, made for a TMZ headline for people who want to, you know chew the story in edible chunks for, you know, the, you know, the guy. But you know, the medical stuff, absolutely. I mean, we've been, you know hit over the head for years that, you know, things are better now, wellness policy, and, you know, that, what, you know, the things that, you know, the bombs Punk dropped were really, you know, about how things, you know, may not be quite as, you know, much better as, you know, we've been led to believe over the years, this last few years, I should say.
Yeah, well, there are some people they certainly don't mind giving time off to. Wade Barrett is certainly one of those gentlemen, because he keeps on getting time off left and right.
Yeah.
Situation
Punk was in it was 2013. They really, really, well, I think when, well, I'm trying to think now, the time when he was out with the concussion, when he, you know, first got his, he said he first got a concussion, a major concussion, I think he's, the timeline may have matched up for when Cena was out with his tricep tear, so
oh.
I could see where they were not, you know, very happy with the idea of giving Punk any time off, you know, at the same time.
Yeah, I can certainly see that, and it's, I guess to me, sometimes I just go, why weren't you more, I mean, couldn't he have actually just said no instead of ending up caving to doing it?
No, that's very true, and I think there's a lot of community issues, the miscommunication issues that went on there. You know, and I guess that this is where this talk will kind of coincide with the Vince Austin podcast talk and just how big of a company WWE has become now. You know, all these layers of people who work there, how hard it is to actually speak to Vince McMahon himself. You know, I have my doubts as how much Vince actually knew about, you know, how Punk felt about a lot of things, how Punk felt physically and emotionally.
That would be kind of interesting to, at least the interview that I read, it seemed like Punk implied that he was talking to some pretty higher-ups.
Right, I think he certainly was. You know, do you think that most of Punk's issue with Triple H, and not with Vince, although I don't think that his relationship was, you know, very good with Vince either, and possibly, you know, and who knows how his relationship with Vince would have been had Triple H not always been, you know, I guess, you know, burying him the second he ever left the room.
I kind of that was funny that you brought up Triple H, just because I remember that, I guess that did end up being a highlight for me, was how pissed off he sounded about taking on Triple H at WrestleMania.
I think the best part was Punk's version of what happened the day he left. I think that is tremendous. I'm sure Triple H wants to kill him dead for revealing all of that. Once again, I'm under the impression that most, if not all, of what Punk said was true, or at least his perspective, with no actual attempt to lie. I mean, you know, when you're that emotionally involved in something, you know, your perspective on it is not going to be based on, you know, unbiased, you know, analysis of the situation. So, but as I said, I think, you know, he was, I think, very honest. In the end, I think he probably made the right decision to leave. You know, his personality is such that he was not built for the backstage politics of WWE, or I think even life to a certain extent. That's just not in his personality. It kind of cracked me up, the part about him thinking, I can go to work for Starbucks now. I'm like, I don't think you'd survive in that system either.
Yeah, I don't think he'd do that anyway.
Right. He did make the quip that at least they'd probably give him insurance.
Yeah, it was just the means to a joke, really. That suggestion. But yeah, and that's another one where I guess I always think that there's some personal responsibility in there. Like, there's their your perspective, their perspective, and what really happened.
Right. Right. Exactly. I mean, I don't think that, you know, Punk is 100% right about a lot of things he said.
Right.
But I respect the fact that he said it. I respect the fact that he's gone away and is apparently going to stay away.
Yeah, that was certainly something that was pretty clear throughout the whole thing. Like, it's gonna be a minute before anything happens.
Yeah, I don't.
You know,
I don't foresee. Because the big issue here is not with Vince, it's with Triple H. So, 20 years, Triple H is still the guy running this company, and he's got, you know, by all indications, he's got a long memory. It took him, you know, nearly 20 years to forgive the Ultimate Warrior for squashing him at WrestleMania 12. You know, so I don't think that, you know, it's going to take a lot, and it's going to take a lot of, you know, what's what I'm looking for? It's going to take a lot of, what's what I'm looking for?
I can't help you in that department. You can keep saying that, but I can't give you any words.
It's going to take a lot from both sides to, you know, to get back together, and I don't think either of them are going to, you know, sacrifice their pride to do so anytime soon.
Right. I do think that I don't know who brought that. I think it was Steve Austin brought the point up in his one story there, how Jim Ross interceded in their little problem between Vince and Austin. And how there's no one for Punk to play that role.
Right. Yes. At the time, Jim Ross was vice president of talent relations. Today, the vice president of talent relations, Triple H.
Yeah. Well. And honestly, it doesn't sound like Punk said all that much. Like, he always credits Paul Heyman with, you know, being the guy that kind of fought for him and really got him his spot in the WWE in some sense.
Right.
Heyman has kind of stated in a couple of different podcasts that he really hasn't heard anything from Punk. So, I mean,
yeah, he said that when they speak, they never talk about wrestling. I'm sure he knows. I'm sure I'm sure they've had the one big talk. I'm sure that there's nothing in the podcast that Heyman has never heard. But Heyman has stayed, you know, as neutral as he could be in the situation, and then understandable, of course.
Yes, and I mean, I guess we could move on. You talked about being neutral. And it made me start thinking about Switzerland. and we already brought up the podcast.
All goes together.
Well, the Punk stuff is kind of old, I guess. So to me, it's more interesting for us, or at least to me, more time-worthy to just go ahead and go more with the podcast between Austin and Vince.
Right. Go on. Let's do it.
And it was one of those things. I did miss maybe the first 5 or 10 minutes because I was trying to catch up on Raw, and I just ended up muting the main event. But so I didn't quite catch all of it. But I mean, I did catch the vast majority of it. Obviously, if I only missed 10 minutes, because they ended up going the extra 15, I was just like,
right.
I was kind of interested, but I'm like, I really want to go to bed right now. So the whole Switzerland thing made me think about Austin questioning Vince about Cesaro, and I mean, Paul Heyman was involved in that too. Go ahead.
Very interesting, and it actually got Vince McMahon in a public forum to basically say the words. I don't remember what the exact words were. I have to go through there. Raw thread on our group, and I'm not hopefully really doing this right this second. But it involved, you know, basically saying the words, "I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do with this guy." It was kind of shocking. I never thought I'd ever see Vince in a public forum show that level of just not having an answer.
And it was interesting to me. It's just like, your job is, and I mean, well, Austin did bring up Cesaro having two, well, he didn't really mention Zeb Coulter, actually. But he had Paul Heyman after that, and it's just like, okay, if a guy has everything except for the mouthpiece part, why not give him a mouthpiece? And just let him do short quips. Like, I don't understand what's wrong with that.
I don't get it either. I don't know what happened with the Cesaro, with the Heyman thing. It wasn't given any chance really to breathe at all before they ended it. Maybe they shouldn't have even gone in that direction in the first place. Maybe it just should have been a straight babyface turn right then and there. You know, get the big swing over and the stiff forearms, without having the need for having him, you know, speaking for 20 minutes at a time, which is just kills these damn shows anyway, and it's something we need to move on from.
I had kind of forgotten about them wasting the whole My neighbors are really making a lot of racket at the current moment.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Oh. I am a little distracted. They sound like they're like hammering something into the wall currently. I almost forgot about Cesaro's. I mean, the guy was really a babyface. And I remember being confused at the time that they gave him then to Heyman. And I think as like, well, we'll see how this plays out. But then he immediately became secondary to Brock Lesnar, even though Brock Lesnar wasn't on TV.
Right, yeah, I mean...
And it wasn't
Heyman
just
could not have been taken.
Well, and it wasn't Heyman just a one-week thing. It was like... That whole tenure of them being together, like, I don't know if there was a single Heyman promo that was solely on Cesaro.
No, there wasn't. Heyman had to make his big introduction about being the one behind the one and 21-1. Then he would just kind of throw out there the winner of the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, which, of course, was just immediately made to be completely unimportant when, of all people, Jack Swagger got to be the one who broke the damn trophy, you know, to start a mid-card feud. They didn't even, you know, a mid-card feud where they didn't even let, you know, Heyman and Coulter really go at each other on the microphone to make that thing work. So, yeah, it was bad from the start. I mean, everything they did after, you know, once you got past people, you know, that post-WrestleMania crowd going crazy about, you know, Cesaro's a Paul Heyman guy, you know, Cesaro's a Paul Heyman guy now, there was no substance to it at all.
No. So, yeah, that one was just, I mean, it was mind-boggling to me. I don't understand. Like, I understand wanting to have a single superstar who can do everything.
Right.
But there's no reason not to have some alternatives.
Yeah. I mean, I agree completely. They have absolutely dropped the ball on this guy. I'm just going to say, it's not his fault at all. The start and stop pushes that he's had, you know, for the last 2 years, it's not his fault. I mean, good for Austin for, you know, for asking the question in the first place. I mean, I know he wasn't going to dwell on it. He actually dwelled on it more than I thought he was going. I never thought. I don't think Vince. I think Vince is taken aback. I don't think that of all the topics in the world. I don't know how much they actually talk beforehand, but I don't think of all the topics in the world that he thought that he would be asked about. I don't think the state of Cesaro.
Yeah, I agree. I think that one caught him off guard a little bit. But it was kind of another thing, at least to me. Jeremy brought up how annoyed he was by the interview, and I guess I just didn't feel like I heard anything new in the interview. In some ways.
What? Jeremy annoyed? Really? I'm shocked.
But we did at least talk about some points. And the one thing that bothered me is that he kind of went after him about Cesaro, but Austin kind of played that being tough, but they were kind of still easy questions for Vince to answer. Like, he didn't really ask the hard questions. Like, he put enough hard in there that he didn't get called softball. But right. I'm not sure. It might have just been, well, fast pitch softball is pretty tough to hit. But whatever. That's what I'll go with.
Yeah, I mean, obviously he wants Vince to do this again. He wants this as a semi-regular forum for him. You know, where you give him. You know, big stars, and they, you know, they do this however often, once a month or whatever it might end up being. So yeah, I'm sure he wants Vince to do it again. I'm sure he wants Vince on his podcast one show. So you know, Austin did a great job, I think. You know, doing the tightrope app of knowing that what he needed to do to be seen as to make it a good interview, to make it an entertaining thing. I don't think anyone thought that Vince was going to go, too far. But, I mean, actually, towards the end, I think Vince was really getting into it, which obviously, when he decided to go 15 more minutes, I think that, the Punk part, I think, and then they just started kind of just having fun with each other. I think that was, that's actually probably more when it got really good.
Yeah, and that is kind of the way it happened. It seemed like they did all the heavy topics right off the bat, and then they got into the recalling history stuff. And Vince was more than happy to recall that stuff rather than go through the current heartburn.
Right. And keep in mind that, any criticism on this thing seems to be, I think, through the prism of this aired on the WWE network. People, I don't know how many people, may have heard for the first time words like babyface, heel, putover, color, this to see on, the WWE network.
I'd be interested to know did they have any numbers on how many people tuned into the network for it?
No, they never release stuff like that. I mean, if it's ridiculously successful, maybe they'll issue a press release, during the week, but, they typically don't. I guess I'm interested to see, what the, free November, gimmick was able to, net them, as a net positive for, for the year as we head towards, obviously December 31st being the end of, fiscal quarter four, as they say, and the end of the fiscal year.
Right. I'm not sure it did any good because, and that's kind of another part that we talked about is that, it was just a little, Vince McMahon made the brass ring comment. And it's hard, because, and I think this present example is perfect. It's hard to want to reach for anything when what usually happens is you get shit on immediately after the positive happens. I mean, we just talked about Cesaro. Dolph Ziggler ends up being the lone survivor for Team Cena after a traitorous Big Show goes over to the other side. And he hasn't had a promo on Raw the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, I would call Dolph Ziggler's Survivor Series performance a grabbing of the brass ring type of moment. Doesn't seem like he's getting rewarded with that brass ring, though. Still, you know, no promo time. He's just going to be in a position, it looks like, at TLC to have a Daredevil match to perform, you know, performance with Harper for the Intercontinental title. And yeah, there's definitely a disconnect there from what McMahon was saying, even what Austin was saying, you know, about, you know, these guys got to want it, these guys got to go for it. I mean, we've seen it time and time again. This is a terrible system, the way this thing is set up. I would not want to work for this company in its present state, in any department, because it's just so overthought. It's so over, everything's so overwritten. Everything is so over, you know, just everything. It's just, this is not GE, this is not Disney, you know what I mean? But there's just so many people, so many layers of management, so many people you have to tiptoe around you, so many, like Vince said, don't piss them off. You know, back in the day, the one person you didn't want to piss off was Vince McMahon. Now what? You've got Triple H, you got Stephanie, you've got all these suits who don't know a thing about wrestling, but, you know, they're the, you know, the executive vice president and the director of such and such in this company. It's absolutely ridiculous. Well, actually, here's a stat for you that Meltzer dropped today. Oh, at okay. Last count, WWE had a 26-person writing staff. Did I break you with that one?
26? Yeah, I think there you did.
26 on the WWE creative team. Currently.
I mean, I know they're filling a lot of time.
Yeah.
But it's not that much time.
Right. That's the thing. These people have to justify their existence by scripting promos, you know, have to scripting promos word for word, by putting in all this, all the comedy, all the, you know, like the gaga, as old Pat Patterson would say, and then putting all these things in, and overthinking everything, you know, writing Bray Wyatt problems that make no sense, but sound like the most, you know, sophisticated thing on the planet. You know, someone had to go through their dictionary and find the word vintner last night.
No. Oh my gosh, that was hysterical when they were doing that interview with Rowan.
Yeah,
and
once again, I mean, an idiot savant character can work, but I don't think that the way that they're doing it, the way that they write, I don't think it will work.
Well, yeah, I just don't know. Like, that's another one that's just, to me, too drastic of a change to start with. Like, at least Luke Harper gets to stay as a heel and gets to stay as the crazy guy. But this guy's got to really change his character. Well, he's got to have a character for the first time.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we'll see what they do with it. But once again, it kind of goes back to what we were saying about that brass ring. Are some guys even set up to have... When a guy's character only says one word and he wears a sheet mask, where is the brass ring for that guy?
Yeah, I mean, they screwed them over already because that tag team division is just... It's not a mess because they still have, like, four teams. But there's no reason not to have kept that. Kept Harper and Rowan. Well, they screwed them up by feuding them with the Usos too early.
Yeah.
Because the Usos had worked hard enough to deserve more than, like, a month reign.
Right.
So, I mean,
right now, the tag team division, honestly, out of last night's show, the thing I may have liked most was what they're doing with the Usos and Miz and Mizdow.
Oh. Yes. I certainly did love the WWE's weighted voting as usual. Hey, there are three choices. Oh, look, Trinity's backstage watching the women's match. Oh, look, The Miz just came up to her and offered her his card. I wonder who the WWE wants us to vote for.
Right, yeah. I mean, obviously, that was a setup thing, and the audience went along with it.
Okay, what were we talking about? Now the problem's on my end, because it's telling me that I don't have any memory, my computer, but I clearly have plenty of it.
Oh, no.
Which is why I have plenty of memory, which is why I forgot what we were talking about when that went bonkers.
Miz and Mizdow and the Usos.
I mean, I still think it was a little... I can't say... To me, the crowd is not participating when you lead them that thoroughly into a vote.
The way they do things, I don't know what to say about that one.
That just, it just always drives me bananas, and I just needed to mention it.
Okay.
But the story can work pretty well. It's your classic jealousy angle.
I mean, Jimmy Uso, you know, on a show where people act in ways that human beings would never act. I think Jimmy Uso, acted exactly how a guy would act. You know, right or wrong, because I mean, it does work on a kind of a higher level, because while Miz didn't hit on her, let alone touch her inappropriately, the audience is supposed to know he has no good intentions for her. So, there's a thing of, in the way Jimmy Uso acted, was he right, was he wrong? Of course, people are going to say that he's overreacting and he shouldn't have, been that jealous. So it adds a different layer to it. I look forward to seeing where this is going.
The Usos have been involved in pretty much everything good. Like, I keep on feeling bad for Stardust and Goldust just because they, did the whole Brothers Uniting thing. Get a title reign, get booted in a month. They're like, hey, let's do a whole new thing.
Yeah, with the New Day, who already are back to being jobbers and what. In two nights, and if people thought they give this thing at least a month before they were back, where they were. I guess they were wrong.
And am I the only one who finds it a little questionable how large Xavier Woods is at the current moment? Did he pack on like 20 pounds between the last time he was on TV and now?
I don't pay that much attention to Xavier Woods, so I don't know. I'll take your word for it on that one.
Yeah, he seems to be doing a little too much powerlifting with Big E. He should maybe go to the sunken chest layer and work on his agility again.
Yeah. Probably a good idea for him. If you're never going to be that big, it's just at that point, muscle is just gonna slow you down. And I'm not adding anything to your presentation at all.
Yeah, and it didn't come off well in the vignettes to me. So didn't come off any better to me live. It came off worse to me live.
Yeah, I don't think. I mean, it's black guys in WWE. Their gimmick is, hey, we're black.
So that means we like to be in a preacher's choir.
Right.
And I don't know if they thought, oh, Big E kind of does have that sermon style. And I don't know. It's just not happening for me.
I mean, I kind of thought that, you know, that... Because keep in mind, putting these three together has been something in the works for, like, 6 months. You know, it started as something that it was going to basically be, a ripoff of the Nation of Domination with them as heels. And now we're to this, you know, this thing where they're this baby face... whatever it is, that type of act. I'm sure if you had Shahid on the line, he'd have a lot to say about, what he thinks it is.
Yeah, Jeremy promised me that he was going to get to that quite possibly on a We Watch Stuff episode, which I fully endorse happening.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, once again, as I said, she can say way more than I can, but,
I don't even need to get into the extra tomfoolery of the whole angle. It's just it's just not good.
No, it's not good at all. It's not going to be a good act. They've already given up on it. Obviously, you don't have them lose on a roll up, to Tyson Kidd in 3 minutes if it's going to go anywhere. So. Yeah, it'll be back at the drawing board for all three of those guys. I mean, it's really a shame for, Big E's got a lot of potential. Kofi had a lot of potential 5 years ago until he screwed up in a match with Randy Orton. Xavier Woods, I have nothing really nice to say about, but the company likes to keep him around because he's got that master's degree in something he'll never use, so...
Oh, yeah, it is always nice to tout the smart ones in the WWE. Look where it got David Otunga.
I understand where they're coming from, but I don't like the guy, and I probably never will.
He's a non-entity to me. Like, he's not here, and he's not there.
Right.
Whatever.
You never watched NXT, where he was actually featured in an incredibly, incredibly annoying human being.
Gotcha. Yeah, that does make a key difference. So,
okay,
yeah.
We're all over the board here.
I don't think we're all over the board. We're just showing how shitty the creative is. Like, I mean... That is what that brass ring is looking like.
I mean, last night's show, and it's going to be a... Go ahead.
You can, well, I was just going to say, you can only shine shit so much. I'm not sure what Big E, if someone came up with this gimmick for the New Day, they don't have... they couldn't have said, hey, yeah, let's go with this idea. It's going to work.
Yeah, no. I mean, no one... Once again, it's so much about just filling time. That's what these writers are doing. They're not creating stars. They're filling... They're not doing even compelling TV. They're just filling time. So, yeah, anything we talk about in relation to Raw absolutely fits in with... the key points of the Steve Austin, Vince McMahon, you know, conversation and the questions Austin had for Vince.
Yeah, at least the grilling portion of it, because there's just so many examples that you can point to that were on the show that just showed that, you know, there's just not enough into it. Like, because, it was the Monday Night Wars thing. It's just like, Vince is like, you can't be throwing, you know, the high heat or however he worded it exactly. It was something in the, you know, you can't be throwing your best stuff out there every week. And it's just like, if it looks good from January until WrestleMania, there's no reason the other 9 months of the year should be pretty much garbage.
Right, no. I mean, I don't think the most of this year was garbage. I mean, I was okay with their spring, and I thought they had a pretty good summer heading into SummerSlam. But it's been from SummerSlam on, it has been some of the worst TV they've ever done. It's been some of the and mostly all in a row. And I think the most frightening thing that Vince said during the course of the entire interview with Austin had nothing to do with talent grabbing brass rings or anything of that sort. It was simply that I like tonight's show.
No.
In Vince's mind, that was a good show, and you could tell with the way, you know, Austin, you know he was, you know, in that makeshift studio. You know, Austin, I'm sure, was watching the entire show, and I'm sure that, you know, he hated that show. But and I know Vince is never going to say that show sucked, you know, minutes after it went off the air on the WWE and the WWE Network. But to say that, to praise it that highly, that worries me about the standards of, you know for what goes out on the air, especially, you know, moments after, you know, even just seeing it all play out, to still say he liked that entire that show, that scares me.
Yeah, because I'm trying to think of positives. Like, I wasn't as offended as I was last week after the show, but it still didn't leave an impression on me either. That's right. Why it was going to be so easy to talk about the interview, which really did end up morphing into talking about Raw anyway.
because Raw was, you know, Raw kind of still, while not as bad as last week, anywhere near as bad as last week, really. Still encapsulated everything that was brought up in the interview. If you want to throw out another interview topic, you go right ahead.
Well, and I guess this is one other thing. This is how much they thought of the New Day gimmick. They debuted on SmackDown.
Yeah, after they said that they were going to debut them on Raw, they just decided, we can throw them out there. We'll throw them out there to six-man tag. You know what? Let's give them Slater Gator in. Hey, guess what? Curtis Axel still works here. All right, you go out there, kid.
Yep, just a throwaway match. No hype to it, really. Well, I think they hyped it right before the commercial break before they came out.
Yeah, what a build-up.
Yeah, it's just there are so many things just bad from the start. It's just like, where do you go from here now?
I guess a feud with Golden Stardust over nothing.
Yeah, over Brotherhood.
Of course. Oh boy.
What? Goldust and Stardust are brothers.
That's what you need right
there. So, but I guess I'm trying to think of what other crazy parts that are kind of blatant examples of things that Vince McMahon said, but just really aren't being acted upon. the way he felt they were.
Like deep in the end of that interview, you see that Vince is still a guy who wants to have a roster. You know, for instance, he used the millennial comparison and all that. He still wants to have a roster full of individuals. I think deep down, that's what Vince wants. Vince wants to go back to that pool and start throwing people in again. But there's that. He's trapped in this corporate world now, and it's not to his benefit or the benefit of the company at all.
I definitely don't think he's like trying to tank it.
No. In fact, I think that he.
But
I don't know who got in his ear. I think he feels like he needs to toe the corporate line completely, and run his company like it was Disney, as I made the example before.
Well, they still do a couple of things of running at Disney. A, they try to have both the hotness of the divas, and really, Total Divas is not for kids.
No. I mean, and it's just right out that it isn't. I mean, it's definitely an adult show.
Yes.
It's a little, but yeah, I don't really see that as an issue at all. I mean, as long as it's clearly labeled as such, I don't think that they have an issue with it.
Yeah, it just, I don't know, like, when they bring that into the WWE, though, like, well, into the ring proper, because, I mean, they are going to be doing it with Jimmy, and I think it's going to look good, because Jimmy looked pretty pissed about it when they did that whole thing on Total Divas about him getting jealous. Like, he kind of, it seems like he has a short fuse about that, so I think he'll be able to tap into that, but it's just, to me, it's not a subject that you go with if that's kind of your demographic that you're shooting for.
I don't know. I mean, I think that, well, the demographic isn't kids. as much as they try to say it is, it's still a show on until after 11 o'clock at night on a school night. So, I mean, you've got to toe the line. Which one you and Jeremy did your show a few weeks back about, you know, how, what's wrong with PG? I don't think it's PG at all. I think it's corporate. It's the feeling of corporate. It's the feeling of the staleness of the show, the formula of it. That I think is what, that you can only go to a certain point, but you don't go past that, and you're making it obvious that you're not able to go past that.
I guess I did say that, but it also got away from something that I used to say, which was noting that there are PG products that are perfectly good and coherently written.
Right. Exactly. And yeah, that's the thing. It's not a coherently written show. It hasn't been for a very long time. It doesn't matter if you can't, you know, show side boob anymore. you still have to have, you know, a basic structure of story structure. You have to have, you know, a clear direction for where you're going. There has to be, you know, still, you know, one chief in charge, as almost every successful wrestling company has had. Vince is still in charge, but there's still too much. Like they got into last night, they got into the whole Jim Ross thing, and Vince really got that was even more than Punk or anything else. That was probably the one where, or even Cesaro, that was the one where Vince got the most tongue tied. You know, trying to explain it away. And, you know, this morning, you know, when, and, you know, Meltzer's podcast, Meltzer was like talking about how, you know, the decision to fire Jim Ross was not from Vince McMahon. It was from one of the, you know, their vice president of whatever who was offended by the whole thing that happened at that 2K deal where Ric Flair was, you know, in whatever state of mind he was in on that day, and they felt that, you know, Jim Ross didn't, you know, control the situation better.
Right.
You know, that's, I mean, it's things like that. It's, you know. You know, who is this person who now can, you know, say that you have to fire the greatest announcer you've ever had, you know, because they didn't like something. You know, that's where we're at right now. When I talk about, you know, corporate America has ruined wrestling.
I still think you can make a comeback, but,
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They're not doing absolutely terrible, you know, business-wise right now. You know, network, you know, growing pains notwithstanding. Yeah, absolutely. They can actually come back.
Yeah, I don't think
I think... Jen...
Huh?
Oh, sorry. It looks like I was losing.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You did cut up for a second, but
Sorry about that. Sorry.
What the hell? Oh, you know, and this was one other part that killed me, and I can't believe I didn't bring this up earlier. Is that Vince said that he listens to the fans and not the critics. And there was just so much wrong with that that it was painful to kind of hear.
Steve Austin tried to give him an opportunity to actually hear what the fans have to say. The look on his face when Austin tried to promote his Twitter as a place that people can air their opinions. I mean, which I understand that. Vince is thinking, I don't actually use that Twitter. Someone else posts on that thing once a week. You know, Vince is not. Stephanie and Triple H are, you know, fairly active on, you know, Twitter themselves.
Right.
Not as much since Thursday, surprise.
Okay, so yeah, you're saying that it was a bad day for the internet there. It's your place.
It's definitely been. It's been okay for a good chunk of the night. So I was hoping we could get through this without any problems. Kevin, if you don't want to put this out there, if you want to, you know, maybe tomorrow record a little bit more. So we can piece this together better, or we can just throw this together.
No, we're way too deep into it to go that route. But we were talking about Vince listening to the fans and not really listening to the fans. I think the biggest example of that is that, to me, there was more doubt in my head about Daniel Bryan than there's been about anyone. Even with the crowd reactions that he was getting, I just honestly did not think the WWE was going to do the right thing. Like, the whole injury thing notwithstanding, that crowd is still going bananas when he comes out.
They were not. I mean, you know, that's what they said. You know, they were not going to go with it until after... you know, two things happened. The revolt in Pittsburgh at the Royal Rumble and Punk walking out. You know, those things left the opening for them to finally say, okay, I guess we'll give it to them. You know, and without that, what would WrestleMania have been like had they not gone through with, if they had, you know, dug their feet in and gone through was Batista versus Randy Orton one-on-one, and Daniel Bryan, not against even against Triple H, but Daniel Bryan versus Sheamus.
They would have at least needed it to be Triple H. But I don't know, evil Sheamus might not have been too bad, but he's certainly had his fair share of injury problems here recently.
Right, right, exactly. And he's out, you know, he's out again, which I'm assuming is what has necessitated them having to go back to Jack Swagger as Rusev's opponent.
Oh, yeah, and as much as I dislike Rusev, this just does not help his character at all.
No.
Like,
it's going backwards. And I think a lot of last night's show was, you know, going backwards to 2 to 3 months. We're back to Cena versus Rollins. We're back to Swagger versus Rusev.
The only thing new is that the IC title championship with Dolph Ziggler and Luke Harper, which again, like, just for Ziggler, it's just like that's the brass ring. You get the IC title, which essentially doesn't mean anything these days.
And he gets to kill himself in a ladder match because you know he will. He will not let himself not steal the show on that night.
Has a great opponent to do it with.
I'm sure they'll have an excellent match. On a show that looks like it's going to be, you know, I guess if I could give a choice of words, a decent time waster show to watch on a Sunday night if you've got nothing else better to do. I'm sure Ziggler and Harper have a potential for a great match. Sudo versus Wyatt, sure, and Rollins is going to be, you know, might be, yeah, tables matches are, singles tables matches are somewhat limiting, but I'm sure, you know, Cena and Rollins will do well with it. I don't want to think about Kane and Ryback and Big Show and Rowan. Oh, which Big Show and Rowan now, officially, a stairs match.
Yep. Rowan has certainly busted out more moves than I expected in his short tenure in singles competition.
Yeah, but unfortunately, against the Big Show, you really can't do a lot of them, especially if they involve a lot of, you know, suplexes and slam type maneuvers.
Right.
So it will be a very much a big men pounding on each other type of match. So, I mean, this is a show that it's not going to add it's not going to add any sizable amount of subscribers to the network that haven't already, you know, been there. It's going to be, it could be an entertaining show, but they're obviously, you know, they're not putting anything all that special on this thing other than a bunch of guys killing themselves for, I guess going back to the Punk podcast, a bunch of guys killing themselves for less money than they've ever made before.
Well, I think that is a good way to end our podcast. You bookended it, and I can go grandkids. I'm already drinking my Soupy Time beer, so I'm out of here. Have a good night. Glad we had something to talk about this week.
All right. Night, everybody.